We left off with that one, Chesed and Aleph. So we're talking about some of the intricacies. If you have an Eved who ends up getting captured, now the question is, someone's going to try to ransom him. So there are a lot of details as to whether the original owner gave up hope, or the owner didn't give up hope, or the person who's ransoming him is ransoming him with the intention of freeing him, but not freeing him. The work continues where we left off.
Giving up hope, does that have to be a formal statement?
So it probably doesn't have to be literally, like, verbally. The person has it in mind, according to many, that would also be good. The problem is how we're going to know that. That's the problem. Right. I guess a certain degree of honesty, you know, are we going to know that the person really gave up hope? So it's hard for us to ascertain that. But if the person was this, yeah, it probably doesn't have to be, like, a formal declaration from the basement. So the market is enough on the Chesed and Aleph. The first was on Amar Shambar Abba. So it's about 10 lines or so from the top. It would take 10, 12 lines at the top. Begins with Amar Shambar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Eved Shebarach Mibeis Asurim. If an Eved Kenani was captured and was taken to the non-Jewish prison, and now he runs away, he escapes. So Yotzei L'Chairus. So he goes free. He automatically wins his freedom. V'lo, not only does he go free in the sense that we can't make him work anymore, so we're going to force the original man, the Jewish master, to give an actual document of freedom, because unless he receives that get shichur, it's going to be problematic. He's not going to marry anybody, because the halacha is that Kol's mother is still alive in Eved, he's not allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. So we're going to force the master, since he's not allowed to work with him anymore, we're going to make him give him a get shichur. So the real question is that really true? Tanan, it doesn't seem to fit into our Mishnah. Tanan, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Beinkach Ubeinkach Ishtabed. Going back to our Mishnah, where an Eved was taken captive, and then he was ransomed, then he was freed. So then Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we still keep him as an Eved. Just because somebody ransomed him doesn't mean that he goes free. So the Gemara assumes that's a contradiction. Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that no matter what, he still reverts back to being an Eved. That doesn't sit well with what Rabbi Yochanan said. Who said that Rabbi Yochanan follows Rav Shimon Gamliel? So the Gemara continues. I'm Rav Rechad Rabbi Yochanan. Komokam Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Shasein Alach Kabosel. Rabbi Yochanan taught us a general rule that we always follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel whenever he appears in the Mishnah. There are a few exceptions to this rule. The Mishnah lists them off. The Gemara lists them off quickly. This is not one of those exceptions. Because we already v'tzidon v'rayach harona. Three halachas scattered throughout Shas. One at the end of Bava Basra. One at the end of Gittin. And one of the second Sanhedrin. The three cases where we don't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but otherwise we do. So now the question becomes, how do we resolve this contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan? The one hand, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us we should follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that when the Eved is redeemed, he goes back to being an Eved. And here we're saying that when the Eved runs away, so he becomes no longer an Eved. What's the difference between the two? So the Bishop of Abaye, according to Abaye, who we learned last week, Mukilul Ahai Lifnei Yush, Ahai Liachai Yush. According to Abaye, it was a big difference that if the owner has not yet given up hope, so that he still owns the evidence, then the evidence is going to go right back again the way it was. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. And the story of Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us that when the evidence ran away, he gets his freedom. That means the original owner already gave up hope. So according to Abaye, the answer is very simple. There's one factor. Bottom one is, if you own an evidence and you still own the evidence and you haven't done anything to give up hope with the evidence, so no matter what happens, whether he gets redeemed, whether he runs away, it's your evidence. He's going to revert back to me or evidence again.
The flip side, not being according to Abaye, that he's more mechuyev to mishachre an eved with money than the other mandama, because since he can never release himself from ownership, he has an achrayus to mishachre.
No, but according to Abaye, he doesn't have to. According to Abaye, that if Reuben still owns the eved, Reuben hasn't been mishachre from the eved. So there's no reason for Reuben to give up the Eved. He doesn't have to lose the Eved. He doesn't have to give a shashif. He just comes right back to being his Eved. So according to Abaye,
there's a certain type of balance that he has to take care of.
Yeah, 100%. If he remains his Eved, of course he has to take care of him. He has whatever the regular relationship of Eved and Odin is. But
right.
Whether he's mechuyev about him, so he may not have it. He may not have any more mechuyev.
Out of shichur, it sort of like has two end things. It seems to have two ends to it.
No, well, another doesn't necessarily have a chiyuv to be told his eved. It's the chiyuv that's mutal on the Jewish community. The mitzvah pidyon shvuah, we learned about last week. There's a mitzvah in Shvuim that's with everybody. It's a husband has an obligation to redeem his wife. His wife gets captive, so then one of the chiyuvim of the ksuba is the same way the husband has to support his wife, and he has to provide medicine for his wife, and he has to provide her clothing. So one of the things that's in the ksuba, he has to redeem her. We don't talk about it too much in the chasa. It's not like one of the top things we talk about the chasa fish, but she gets taken by the pirates and he has to redeem her. But that is a chiyuv of the ksuba that he has to redeem her. But that chiyuv, I don't think exists for another. In evidence against the Jew. So if he gets taken captive, so the whole Jewish community's gotta gather together and try to redeem him. So the bottom line is, according to Abaye, if it's before Yush, then the Eved goes back to the Eved, which is exactly what from Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan said that the Eved who runs away goes free. That's talking about after Yush. El Rava, but according to Rava, he said the Amalei Acha Yush. According to Rava, even though the master has given up hope, he still gets the Eved back. So Kashem Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. So why doesn't he get the Eved back when the Eved runs away? So according to Rava, what's the difference between when somebody redeems the Eved, that the master gets him back again, even post-Yush, in contrast to when the Eved runs away? There's something funny, something strange going on about the Eved running away. So the Gemara explains what that factor is. Amalach Rava. Rava will explain to you. Time amai, Yishuv Dechizkiya. Why in the world did Rava tell us last week that if the Eved gets taken captive and the master gives up hope, he's not expecting him back. 10 years later, all of a sudden, he gets freed. Why does he go back to being an Eved? Doesn't make any sense. Well, like the master lost his rights to him already. So that was a special takana that the Gemara called the name of Chizkia, that we are very, very nervous, because if we let the Avodim just get captured and then get freed right away, so what Eved's going to think, oh, what a great plan. I'll volunteer to get myself captured. The whole Jewish community is going to run a pigeon shrew. They'll run a charity campaign for him, a pigeon shrew. They'll free him. That's a great way to become free. So that's not right. That's taking advantage of the system. So the last thing we want is that Avadim should end up voluntarily getting themselves over to becoming a captive. So Chizkiya said, Chazal made a special takana, that even though, according to the regular rules of the Dina Mominus, the master gave up hope, he really shouldn't get the Eved back again. We're going to give the Eved back to him to avoid this from happening in the future. But Bareach Shaini, when the Eved ran away, so then obviously that fear doesn't exist. Why is that? We can know for certain an Eved that psychologically runs away from his captors is not the kind of an Eved who's going to end up volunteering himself to become captive in the first place. Why? Hashtal Tolamos and Navshe, Apulia Apple Navshe, and Gaiasos. It is very dangerous for an Eved to run away from his captain. We're not exactly talking about the greatest tzaddikim over here. We're talking about the pirates. So you have this pirate stick you as captive, and you're going to try to escape in the middle of the night. If you get caught, they're going to kill you. So if an Eved is so doesn't want to be an Eved, he's so nervous, he's so scared to hang out with these pirates, and he puts his life at risk, he is not the kind of Eved who's going to voluntarily hand himself over to the pirates in the first place. So therefore, once the Eved runs away, that's a good proof that we don't have to be worried about this particular Eved. So with all the background now, another one tells an actual story. We're sitting here in the 21st century, you know, there's not exactly, the most halachamaisa shailas, but the Gemara tells stories, Mam Shishas, what really happened. So I'm saying to my Shmuel Ishtaboy. So Shmuel had an Amo, he had a maidservant, he had a woman who was working for him, and she was Ishtaboy, and she was taken captive. So the people who redeemed her, so they redeemed her for the purpose of being an Amma. They didn't want to redeem her, she should be free. They redeemed her for the purpose of maintaining her status as an Amma. And they sent her back to Shmuel. They sent to Shmuel the following message, a very lomdusha message. He said, we happen to hold the Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, that you always revert, the Eved of the Amma always reverts back to be an Eved and Amma again. So you don't have to worry, Shmuel, they said, don't worry, it's okay, you can keep her as your servant. Even if you hold like the Rabbanan, who say that if the redeeming was done to free them, then the Eved of the Amma goes free. And now, you should just know that we redeemed her specifically to send her back to you. So the people who did the mitzvah pigeon shvuyim said to Shmuel, don't worry, she can go back to exactly where she was. She was in your household. I'm sure she was doing just fine in the household of Shmuel. He was treating her nicely. She had a good job. She was taken care of. So he said, you don't have to feel guilty about taking her back. So the Inu Savor, these people who sent this message, they thought that they used Shabbat. They were assuming that Shmuel had not given up hope of ever getting this Amma back. So according to their understanding or misunderstanding of the facts. They were right. Below the Gemara says it wasn't true what happened. The Acha Yishav. In fact, Shmuel had already given up hope. In response to what we said before, they didn't know that. How are they going to know that he gave up hope? But Lemaisa Shmuel had already given up hope. So once Shmuel had already given up hope, then the game was over. But Shmuel refused to make her work. He already given up hope. So she had already, in a sense, acquired her freedom. He had no right to make her go back to work. So Shmuel, not only did not make her work, Shmuel said she's totally free. She could marry him if she wants. She married a Jewish guy now. She's a completely regular Jewish girl. Said he didn't even bother giving her a get shichur. He didn't even bother giving her a document to indicate this. Why not? We said before that for sure the person requires a shichur, requires a get shichur. He says, no, Shmuel had a very unique shita about the giving or the not giving of a shichur. The other Shmuel's opinion was, if a person simply declares his eved to be ownerless, a person is mafker his eved, so the eved goes free. It's not all that different conceptually than being mafker your property. A person is mafker his house. It's not his house anymore. Mafker his car, mafker his animal. It's not his animal. So he's mafker his eved. The eved is no longer his. The eved goes free. He doesn't have to work for him anymore. But not only does the eved not have to work for him anymore, he doesn't even require a document to free him. He goes automatically free with hefker alone. Now, we happen not to pass like this. The Gemara says a little bit later on, we pass in that if a person is mafka their eved, so they lose their monetary rights to the eved. They can't make the eved work for them anymore. But they still must give them a document to free them. It's like a get, isha. So a person wants to get divorced, so they say to their wife, oh, you're hefker, it's okay. You can do whatever, you can marry whoever you want. That doesn't work. Chosla sefikrisus. If we don't know that by learning get in the whole game, we're in big trouble. So of course you have to write down the words of the get into a piece of paper. So most people, the way we pass in halacha, is that it's not enough just to verbally free your eved. You have to actually give them a shtar shichur. Shmuel said no. Shmuel said that as long as you say hefker yimafker the eved goes free. How did Shmuel know this? So we learned it from the following pasuk shemar. B'chol eved ish miknas kesef. Torah says in Parshas Bo that if you own an eved kenani and you want to eat korban pesach, so you have if you want the eved kenani to eat korban pesach, he has to be get a bris mila. And even if you want to eat it yourself, you have to make sure he gets a bris mila. The thing is that if you have an eved kenani in your household that hasn't received a bris mila, that prevents you from eating the korban pesach. The Torah says, "Chol eved ish miknas kesef, molkos az yochol bo." So the Torah introduces an eved kenani with a very strange phrase: an eved ish. He's an eved who belongs to a man. Asks the Gemara, "Eved ish, eved isha?" We're only talking about a man who owns an eved. What about if a woman owns an eved? That's also a woman could also potentially own an eved. So the word Eved Ish is coming to hint to us the following drasha. Only an Eved who's an Eved Ish, he belongs to a man. It means he has somebody who has control of him monetarily. Only such a person is called an Eved. Eved She'ein Lo Shus Rabba Lov Eifer Eved. An Eved who doesn't have a master on top of him, because the master has already freed him. His master has already declared him to be ownerless. He's not considered to be an Eved anymore. So according to Shmuel, he loses all the halachas of Eved, even without an actual get shichur. So that's why in this particular story, when the people thought they were being very nice, they thought they were redeeming Shmuel's maidservant and sending her back to him. So Shmuel said, thank you very much for freeing her. Thank you very much for redeeming her. She's free anyway. I read his mafka last week. So she's free anyway, and she's going to go marry him. She's going to marry a regular Jewish guy. She doesn't even require mishnah shichur. What tells another story? I'm saying to Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, once the Amma, the maidservant of Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, Ishtaboy, she was taken captive. So, is that story a proof? It means, according to Rava, even post Yush, right. So, Shmuel wasn't the vessel. I'm saying to Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, Ishtaboy, she was taken as a captive. Parkahau Tamudah, the Shum. So there was a Talmud was a non-Jewish community. So there was a guy who redeemed this woman. Was such a big tzaddik redeemed one and out of her. So now we have a little bit of a problem that we have this Shifcha Kenanis who is partially Jewish, a certain degree of Yisrael perhaps. She was taken as captive, and now some non-Jew redeemed her and is about to marry her. So that doesn't go well with us. So what do we do? So Shalchalel Yidei. So they sent the message to Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra that Iyos Abbas, if you want to do the right thing, Shadla Gita the Chirusa. He said, send her Shta Shechra, free her. He must try to figure out what was the point of that exactly. Heki Dami, Idamatsu Parkila, if the other people in the community, the Jewish community, are able to free her, they have enough money to ransom her, and this time of day, you know, this guy who redeemed her to marry her, yeah, he wants to marry her, but if the price is, you know, is good enough, he'll give it back also. So if the Jewish community, the Jewish community is trying to get their funds together, trying to, you know, have a stock campaign to free this girl, so if they're able to do it, so why in the world do they need Rabbi Abba to send her a shtashichur? What was the point of that? Either a matzu parkila, if they're not going to be able to free her anyway, she's going to end up being together with this non-Jew, what is that going to accomplish? The non-Jew is not going to listen because we're sending her a shtashichur. What is the point of that shtashichur? So we all look at the matzu parkila. So the Gemara says that really the Jewish community was able to redeem her, and that non-Jew was willing to free her, willing to sell her. Came with the Mishad, like the Chabur Machmiyad Dadi parking lot. It was like a psychological tactic. He said to Rabbi Abba, if you send her Shashikhur, so then she's going to become a real regular Jew and we'll be able to get money easier. If we try to raise a campaign to free a Shikhur Kinaya, some people are going to give, some people are not going to give. But if we tell everybody that we're trying to raise the money to redeem a regular Jewish woman, to be able to get more money. So they told Rabbi Abba, the best strategy here is for you to free her, send her Shashikhur. Then she becomes a regular Jew. Once she becomes a regular Jew, so that'll be easier for us to get the money to redeem her, which is what we wanted to do in the first place. And then the Gemara gives another fascinating answer. Here again, it's very, very hard for us to sit around and touch the pay gimel to understand this. But the Gemara says, Vibai Seima, the Olam Zulam Otsu Parkila, that Olam, they weren't able to redeem her. This guy was not interested in freeing her in the first place. So this was a tactic that they thought that maybe by Rabbi Abba sending her Ishtar Shichur, that would be able to somehow convince this non-Jew to free her. Why? Came into Mishad Lagit Nechirusa, Mitzvah Labi Apey Umafigla. Because if Rabbi Abba sends her Shashichur, so word will get out, oh, her original master freed her, and people will start to talk, the buzz will be, and the word on the street's going to be, that this woman used to be a Shifla Kinaitis. That's not going to bode well for this non-Jew. This non-Jew is parading around town, telling her, you got a great Shidduch, you got this wonderful girl. He's not telling everyone she's a Shifla Kinaitis. He's telling everyone that she wanted to marry him. And people are going to go, this guy, how do you get a wife? He got himself a wife by kidnapping her, by then getting money to ransom her. So that's going to spread the word on the street that she's a regular Jewish girl and she was started out being a Shifla. That's not going to bode well for him. So it's a scare tactic. We're trying to convince Rabbi Abba to free her in order to convince this guy not to marry her. So the Gemara says that, really, is that, you think it's going to work? The Gemara says, Chaviv Lehem Behemtan Shei So Yosu Shal Seyem. The Gemara has a very strong statement in Masechus of Avodah Zarah. We'll leave out the original context of the statement, but the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that the non-Jews, they're it's okay. If they want to be with this girl, they want to be with this person, they'll be, it doesn't matter what people are going to be saying about them, about that they're marrying a Shifcha, it's okay, they can do it anyway. So the Gemara says, Hani Mili Bitsina. The Gemara says, that's in private. But for Heshchen Zilbu Milsa, they don't want word out. They have a little bit of, they have their reputation. They have their, you know, macho image to protect. They don't want people to think that the woman who they're marrying is really just a plain old shithole. They just stole a few weeks before. So the Gemara continues with another story. Hai Amsadab Pupadisa. It was a shivcha who was in the city of Pupadisa. The Havukama Avdi Ba Inche Isura. That people were being mizanu with her, that nobody was keeping an eye on her, and she was ending up being a little bit of a mikshol. She was being a stumbling block for the people in town. So Amr Abai said, what are we going to do about this? We have to solve this problem. We can't have it. This woman remains the shivcha, and the people in town are going to be doing inappropriate things with her. So Amr Abai, Ilad Yom Ravida Mashmul. Abai said, we have a problem, because if not for Ravida Mashmul told us, called Meshachar Abda of the Yesay, one is not really supposed to flee one's ever Canaanite. We're going to talk a little bit about it later on, what the problems are, what the exceptions, what the solution to that problem is. But the starting point is that we're not really supposed to free your Eved Kenani. So come to Rabbi and says, what do we do now? On the one hand, we don't want this girl to remain a shivcha because it's leading to problems in town. On the other hand, how are we going to tell the master to free her? So Rabbi is bemoaning the fact that not for this problem, I would have forced the master, I'd have insisted that he frees her, that he writes her, then she becomes a regular Jewish girl. And then we'll get her married to somebody, and the husband will watch over her. The state that she's in, it's a total hefkeres. Nobody's watching over her. So Abai throws his hands up, and he says, they can't do anything about it. So Ravina says, no. Ravina says, I can do something about it. Kiha, amoy de Rabbi Yehuda. Even though Rabbi Yehuda said, under normal circumstances, we shouldn't be freeing our abadim, but this is an exception to the rule. We should also do surah, because there's an issur involved. There's a bigger problem involved. There's a more of a serious problem of being a stumbling block that the people down. So therefore, we're going to free her, even though we would normally not want to do that. Is it true that Abaye would not permit freeing of an eved to avoid problems? Hamar Rav Chanina bar Rav Ketina bar Yitzchak. Mer tells a story that Ma'ase b'Shachas was once a woman. That's the age-old problem of having somebody who's a little bit of both. Most people in the world are either a regular Ben Chayrin or a regular Evan. You have someone who's a little bit of a mixture of both. How did that become a mixture of both? So the Gemara explains a little bit later on in one of two ways. Either a person was owned by two partners and one decided to free their half and the other didn't. Or a person was owned by one person and the owner, for some strange reason, decided to free part of them. So the Mishnah later on talks about the problem that if you have somebody who's a Chatzi Shiv Chatz Ben Chayrin, their marriage prospects are basically zero. Who in the world could they marry? They can't marry a regular Jewish person because they're half Shivcha. They can't marry an Eved because they're half of a regular Jewish woman. So they can't do anything. And that's going to lead to a problem. So the Gemara tells a story about Ma'isim, Isha Achshvitzchis Shivchas Mascharin. There was such a woman at the top of the Chesed of the Beis, the Kof was Shrava, the Beis, the Kof was Shrava, the Sov Mascharin. So because she had nobody to marry, so she was hefkeres, and therefore people were taking advantage of her. So Chazal forced the master to free her. Because people were being mafka, they were being treated her in an appropriate manner. Therefore, they did her and everybody else a favor, and they freed her. So you see from the earlier story, you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to free an Eben because it's causing a problem for the community. The verse says, over there, over there, she was half and half. So in the state of being half and half, she was a big, big problem. We couldn't do anything. There was no etzah to save her. Whereas over here, it's a regular shidduch. Let's find him a good shidduch of an eved. We'll marry her off to an eved community. We'll mingle on. The eved will watch over her. So why do we have to go run and take a drastic approach of freeing her? Just give her over to an eved and hope and pray that the eved will keep an eye on her. So now the Gemara goes back to the story that we mentioned before. But under normal circumstances, you're not supposed to free an eved kenani. So gufo, we learn before Amar Birmashmo. Kol b'shachar ad Rabbi Yassin. The person frees their eved kenani. That's in violation of a positive mitzvah. Shenema l'ol mem tavod. The Torah presents us a bash tahar. If you have an eved, there's no mitzvah to buy an eved. You buy an eved kenani. So they're supposed to remain as an eved kenani. Meisfer, the Gemara tells probably the most famous story about an eved kenani. Ma'isev Rabbi Eliezer. Once it happened, the Rabbi Eliezer. He came into shul and there wasn't a minyan. So we shouldn't feel bad that we sometimes come to that late night, early 9 guys in shul. It happened in the days of Eliezer as well. But what Rabbi Eliezer did, none of us would ever do. Rabbi Eliezer, there were 9 people and he had his servant with him. The servant was an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani is not a full-fledged Jew, doesn't count for a minyan. So what did Rabbi Eliezer do? No problem. He freed his Eved on the spot. In order to make the minyan. So the Gemara says that you see from the story that you're allowed to free an eved for the purposes of this mitzvah of davening a minyan. Sounds like there's nothing really wrong with freeing an eved. The Gemara says, no, mitzvah shaydi. The Gemara says, no, under normal circumstances, you're not supposed to. But this was for the purpose of a mitzvah. The Gemara tells the exact same story of Masechta Brachos, and he adds one point to the story. The Gemara says, it wasn't just a regular mitzvah. It was a mitzvah shel Rabim. It was for the whole tzibur. It's the whole 9 guys plotting, waiting for minions. So for that's enough of a mitzvah in order to free an eved. So the Rishon was very, very bothered with this question. As great as davening as a minion is, davening is not a mitzvah deraisa. Davening a minion is not something that would have the ability to override other kinds of yisurim. You're not allowed to do a veirus in order to daven a minion. It's a beautiful thing, daven a minion. You're supposed to try davening whenever you can. But you're not allowed to do Yisurim, the Davin and Minyan. So what does the Gemara mean that? Stam Mishra Mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. It's a very, very strange Gemara. So there are many, many different answers that are given to this question. So the Rashi Masechta Brachos quotes that there was a possible answer that was given. The Rashi eventually rejects it, but the Rashi has a potential answer was, maybe it was the one time a year when you really, really need a Minyan. So it's a Mitzvah Deraisa, you need a Minyan, B'lishum Sofei. When's the only time a year that you need a Minyan in the Torah? Hashem Zochem. That's the famous Rashi. The Rashi says, Maybe he was talking about Pasha Zohar. So the post can quote that Rashi says, you see for the Rashi, you need a minion for Pasha Zohar, you can't wait for. So that's the source. That Rashi is the source of the following Chumrah. In many of our communities, there were many, not all shuls, but some many shuls have the practice that there's a question whether the women are obligated to Pasha Zohar. It's not clear whether the women are really obligated or not. So many shuls have the practice that they have a second Pasha Zohar. They read Pasha Zohar a second time around. So some posts can say that very often what happens is all the men clear out, all the women come into shul, and then the Bakar gets up and lays Pasha Zohar. So many posts say they should keep nine other men around. You should keep a minion around when the women are hearing it. According to some, you need a minion for Pasha Zohar. Not to say, the whole thing is not true. But the whole story about having a minion for Pasha Zohar is not here. Because the Rosh says, maybe that's the shot in the story. But most of the Rishonim said that in the shot in the story. The whole thing wasn't even true. That the story was a regular day. Davening a minion is not so important. So we have to figure out why davening a minion is important enough.
Was it unless they have the Pasha Zohar on that specific day?
That's another shalom. That's also shalom. But I told you, don't need it on that particular Shabbos, right? It's also a question. There are a lot of holes in the story. A lot of problems in the story. But the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Tanur Rabbi Gvinder Rabbi." The Elam Tavodu. Going back to that pasuk, the pasuk says, "Elam Tavodu Rishus to Rabbi Shmuel." Rabbi Shmuel said that there is no chiyuv. You don't have to keep Rabbi Gnadi. You want to free Rabbi Gnadi? Free Rabbi Gnadi. What's the difference? The Torah says Rishus to. You want to keep? You keep. You want to free? You free. Rabbi Akiva Mechayba. Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that's a chumrah. So he asked the Gemara, Dilma Rabbi Elazar, Savar, Kiman Dilma Rishus. The whole story that we said before was a problem. How did Rabbi Elazar how did Rabbi Elazar free his Eved? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that you're allowed to free an Eved. The Gemara says, nah, Losagadat, it can't be. The sign you had, we learned in the Brice explicitly, Rabbi Eliezer, Omechova, Rabbi Eliezer was one of the Tanaim who held that you're in fact not supposed to have free an Eved. So I'm a Rabbi, the Hani Tras Mileg. Rabbi, again, this is way after the days of the Tanaim, Rabbi is making the following observation, that there are three things that are causing Nachti Balibatim and Echseon, that are causing the Balibatim to lose their money. Three things are causing them to lose their property. The Mafki of Dayel Echimutsu, number one, they're violating this Isra freeing their Avadim, who decided Echseon B'Shemata. Another thing they're doing is that they're looking at their property on Shabbos. The people are very wealthy, have a lot of land, and they check it out. You know, they're not doing anything. Walk on the land. They're taking the Shabbos walk past the fields, and looking around and trying to think what they can do, what they can't do, what they lift the Shabbos. So it was, that's a problem. So that was like a midah, like a midah. Because they're so careful, they're looking at the properties. So the Shabbos says, you do that on Shabbos, that's not right. It was the copies of the Sayyid Shabbat to be the Megidrash. And they would set their Shabbos meals at a time of the Beis Medrash. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. But there was a set time after davening, everyone would come to learn. That was the Seder time. Everyone would come to learn. It's a shiur in the shul, it's Medrash. And then people would go home and eat. And what did they do? So they went home and ate right away. They didn't come to the shiur after davening. So the Gemara says, that's not right. So if a person does that, that's not a good omen. But there were two families in Yerushalayim. Achas kavus udas v'shabata. One of them set up their meal Shabbos at the wrong time, the time everybody was supposed to be learning. They were eating, so that's not right. Yachas comes to us with Erev Shabbos. And another one set up their meal on Friday afternoon. So it's not clear what that means. Rashi goes, one shot. They were eating big meals on Friday afternoon. That means they weren't careful with those halachas. You're not supposed to sit down and have a grandiose meal on Friday afternoon. It's like a little snack, a little here and there you can have. But Friday afternoon is not the time because that's going to detract from the coming Shabbos. So these two families in Yerushalayim, one was not careful on Shabbos, one was not careful on Friday. Ushtem Nekru, both of these families, they were removed from whatever happened to them. They didn't have a good ending.
Nothing changed in 2,000 years. now they have places, Erev Shabbos,
Shuntz, and other things, correct? Right, so we do not want to wish anything bad about such people, but... Now, look, it's not like that. Right? It's a terrible, terrible thing, right? It's an antithesis of what Kabbalah Shabbos is, to sit around, to come Friday afternoon, and they have a children, and sometimes other things that accompany that children as well. So I could speak for a long time about why that's not appropriate, but we did learn before about how important it is to have a minion, so I don't want to hold anyone up from now, and we don't want to free any of them. Hopefully, I think there's more than 10 people upstairs. So
I understand how. Some people, you know, like you said, why do you make gezeiros?